Today's scripture reading is from Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
All right. I am going to bow my head one more time before I start this, because you can never pray too much. Amen. Heavenly Father, once again, I just ask that you would be with my words, you would be with my tongue, and you would be with the ears that this falls upon. Please help it to touch even just one. We love you. Amen. So, guys, I'm not leaving you out. You have your day next month. But I thought with Mother's Day tomorrow, I would do kind of a tribute to the ladies today. I never wanted to be a mom. I didn't really like kids growing up. They're noisy. They're messy. I didn't want the kids. I wanted stuff. And when Ryan and I got married, his parents were really disappointed because they wanted grandkids. I was like, mm-mm. And I convinced Ryan we wanted stuff. Well, that was when I was 24 or 5, and then about 28 rolled in, and my body went, oh, hey, you should get on that. And my biological clock was telling me that now I wanted babies. And so then I had to convince Ryan we did want children and not just stuff. His parents were really happy when we told them that we were pregnant. So I was pregnant with Winter, and, there she is. She was so cute. Yeah, she's still cute. But that's in her daddy's arms. And she was born with a little bit of jaundice, so we had to put her in front of the window so she got the sunlight. And that's what we were doing here. I love that look. What are you talking about, Mom? She already had it, and she wasn't even a year old. But let's see what's on there. Oh, her blue eyes just pop out so much in this picture. That's why I picked it. But man, what a proud mommy. And there's Asher. He was a little wrinkly. I called him Mr. Magoo. But they were both, she was 7 pounds, 9 ounces. He was 7 pounds, 4 ounces. He was 22 inches long. She was 19. But, you know, when you take your baby out and you kind of want to show them off in the beginning and everybody thinks they're so cute, look at that. Ah, okay. Anyway, it warms my heart. But, so I'm pregnant with Winter. I'm still playing softball. In fact, I'm a pitcher. I'm a pitcher in softball. And women's softball season is, you know, kind of in the midsummer. But I'm pitching, and this lady hits this ball, and I caught it right here next to my pregnant belly. And the umpire said, you're never pitching again while you're pregnant. And so God was even protecting Winter when she was in my womb right there. So I had to find someone else to pitch for me. And then I went to work on October 12th, and towards the end of the day, I started having some contractions, and I thought, ooh, it's time to go. So I went to the hospital, and I was having the contractions, and they put that thing on my belly, and they measured them, and then they stopped. I guess it's time to go home. So I went home, and I never had any more contractions. So I went to work the next day on October 13th. That's when Winter was born. Well, in FedEx, you have priorities that are due by 12, and then you have other stuff that's due later. And the doctor's office called, and they said, you should swing by here so we can check and see how you're doing. Okay. So at 11:30, I swung by there, and for any of you ladies that know, the doctor said, you are about 8 centimeters dilated. I am? Okay. I didn't know I was in labor. So my next question was, well, I have 4 more priorities that I need to get off. Can I deliver them? And he said, the only thing you're delivering today is a baby. So I drove myself to the hospital in my FedEx truck, called my coworker and said, hey, my truck's full of packages and I got my keys. You got to come finish my stuff because I'm having a baby. And then when I got in there, he broke my water. And it wasn't until then that he decided to do an ultrasound to find out that Winter is breech. So she was coming feet first. So because he broke my water first, now I had to go in for an emergency C-section. I was devastated. I wanted to have my baby naturally, just like everybody else. My mom did it. I could do it. Oh, I wanted to do it. I went through all the Lamas and the birthing classes. I was ready to go. And now you tell me my baby's breech and I have to have an emergency C-section. And I still have in mind when I get to heaven, I want to ask God, you know, what his plan was. And then I thought, you know, that my baby's head was perfectly round. It didn't have that weird cone shape. And, you know, so I was like, okay. And you know what? Maybe she would have died. Maybe she would have got stuck in there. Maybe mom would have died in labor. So God knows best. I just am looking forward to him telling me the story of why he chose that plan. So they put this epidural in you, right? They put this needle in right about here in your spine, and it numbs you from the waist down because they have to cut your belly open and take the baby out. Well, this medication also makes your lungs feel really, really heavy. And I felt like I was struggling to breathe. And I started getting really upset. I started getting anxious. I was like, I can't breathe. And Ryan came and he said, honey, listen. And I listened. And I heard a baby crying. And it was my baby. Thank you, Dawson. That was perfect. That was perfect timing. So that, when I was looking up these scriptures, I actually ran across, let me find it, John 16:21. It says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And I did. In that moment that he told me to listen and I heard my baby crying, the heaviness from my breathing went away, my anxiety went away. All I could concentrate on was, I have a beautiful baby, healthy girl. And he brought her over to me so I could kiss her on the head, and it was amazing. And I was so proud. And then when I had Asher, that was also a C-section, which was okay because I told the doctor to fix that while he was in there because I was done having kids now. And so Asher came out, and for a while, he was doing okay. And then he kept getting more fussy and more fussy, and we did the colic medicine. I carried him around like a football. I rocked him. Some days he'd cry, and I would try and feed him. And then after 2 minutes, he would cry some more, and he was so upset. And there were nights as a mom when you don't get any sleep, and you can't comfort your child, and you don't know what's wrong. You don't know how to fix it. It was almost despair for me. I was so tired. He wouldn't stop crying. And I literally wanted to put my head into the wall. And I prayed and I prayed. And there were many sleepless, restless nights. And it wasn't until he was about a year old that we found out he was lactose intolerant. Well, that could have fixed things a whole lot earlier than it did. But I was still glad to have him. So what does a mother look like? What does motherhood look like? We have this picture up here that seems picturesque. You're happy, you're with your baby, the sunset. It's a beautiful picture. And we enjoy watching them sleep. And they have these monitors now that you can put on the baby that monitors their heartbeat that you can hear in your room, you know, because we had so many instances with SIDS and other things. So now an alarm will go off if your baby's heart stops beating, which is really cool. I didn't use one of those, but we watch them sleeping and we watch them grow and there's first steps and crawling and rolling over and first words, and I so hoped it would be mom, but my dad babysat a lot and all he kept saying was papa, 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 papa. Winter's first word was papa, but I wasn't home to hear it, so it didn't count. So it was really mom. But we watch them grow, and man, time just screams by. One minute you're rocking them, and they're getting baby food everywhere, and the next minute you're teaching them how to swim and letting go of the bicycle seat as they're riding down the road. And, you know, it's just, it's hard to let go because you don't want them to get hurt. You know that there's going to be pain and stuff in the world. And then when you're worried and you want them to be okay and they see that, you can't show them that. You have to have this strong face to let them know everything's going to be okay. You don't want them to panic. You don't want them to be scared. So we have to put on this brave, strong face. We want to shield them. We want to shield them from painful lessons that this world has to offer. And sometimes, for some of us with hard heads like myself, it takes the school of hard knocks. And that's how we learn. But we can go to Ezekiel 19:23. I don't know if you have that, Walter. Or if I... Oh, there we go. What is your mother? A lioness? She lay down among the lions, among the young lions. She nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey, and he devoured them. So we want what's best for our kids. We are that mama lion. You know, when someone's bullying our kids or when someone's, you know, not treating them right, Mama Bear gets her hackles up. And all we want to do is just shield our kids and protect them. But if we raise them right, that's our goal. We want to raise them right. We want to raise them to be a best friend with Jesus. Amen. That's our goal. That's what my dad told me all the time growing up. If you get nothing from this, just make Jesus your best friend. And that's what we want to do. Now, I don't condone what Rebecca encouraged and helped Jacob do with deceiving his father. I don't condone that at all. The Bible says in the scripture that we read of Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go and they should not depart from it. So I'm not sure, you know, she wasn't really teaching him anything in that. And does that mean that like Winter and Asher and those of you who have had kids that aren't necessarily in the church anymore or aren't necessarily Christians anymore, that doesn't mean that someday something that you said might not put a spark in there. Amen. That sometime they might remember something. Oh, you know what? My mom told me about that. She was right. Oh, I wish I would have listened to my mother, because I've said that numerous times. Thank you, Mom. But, you know, once again, as long as we can make Jesus our best friend, because there's another, find where I was at. Okay, so they're raised to love and trust in God. And again, I've heard numerous stories of people who are in the church and who've gone out and done whatever they wanted to do, but eventually God calls them back. And they've had that foundation, the foundation that we can provide, not as, just as mothers, but as parents in general. We have to walk that walk. Some fight, but when push comes to shove, some may need a harder lesson. You know, some may not always realize it. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you figure out how to swim back up. And you know what? God is there. He's there to put his hand out. And you know who else is there? The parents. Because no matter what our kids do, we're going to love them. Just like our Heavenly Father loves us. Amen. He doesn't have to like our decisions. And sometimes we just flat out disappoint him. But that doesn't mean he loves us any less. So, going back to Jacob and Rebekah, we read in Genesis 27:13, she said, Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers, what is that? I think that was the wrong one. Sorry. Anyway, she tells Jacob, let your curse be upon me. So she's helping him, but she wants that curse to be upon her. And that's what mothers do. If we could take away pain from our kids, if we could trade places with them when they're sick, or I would. I remember when Asher had appendicitis. Oh, that was hard. You know, we weren't sure at first what it was, but we were pretty sure. But it was still hard. It was hard to watch him go through. And he said he was in so much pain driving up to the hospital. I said, man, if I could have taken his place, I absolutely would have. Because we don't want them to experience that pain. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it tells our children, it just reiterates about the commandment that says, honor your father and your mother. And they don't get that necessarily now, and I wish they would, but patience. Patience is the key. And then in Ezekiel 16, 44, I think, I gotta look it up. Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use his Proverbs against you, like mother, like daughter. I've heard that. I grew up through life with everyone thinking I was my mom's sister because we look so much alike. And then you have their moments, you're like, I don't want to do that because that's what my mom did, and I don't want to be like my mom. But sometimes, once again, if we walk that walk in Jesus, she did devotions in the mornings, you know. She would pray with us. She does devotions now. She does worships every morning. Those are footsteps that I can follow in. So if you want to say like mother, like daughter, that would be great. That would be a compliment for me. Because her heart's in the right place and she's doing what she feels is right. In Proverbs 23, 22 through 25, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Amen. There are moments that I am so proud of my kids, especially when you're not watching and they choose to do the right thing. So they go to a non-denominational school in Camp Verde, and there have been two different occasions where someone has snuck vape onto the campus. And the first time, Winter didn't really want to do anything with it. The second time, she had a witness that said she put her hands up in the air and was like, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. Proud mom. She said she was tempted, but she didn't want to do that because she knew it was wrong. I wasn't there. I wasn't there to guide her. I can only hope that through the footsteps that I followed in trying to raise them right, that the Spirit spoke to her and said, you don't want to do this. You're proud of them when they do actions to help others, and they're so sweet. And when people come up to you, and they're like, oh, your kids are the best. And sometimes you're like, if you only knew. Because I'm surprised they have survived this long. Because motherhood takes many different, one minute you're proud, you're watching them sleep, you're helping them ride a bike. Sometimes mom is the nurse. Sometimes mom is the comforter. Sometimes mom is the referee. And you got one kid here and one kid here. Because they're fighting like cats and dogs. Motherhood looks different for everyone. So in Luke 1:30, it said that Mary found favor with God. There it is. Then an angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for if you have found favor with God. And I feel like that's what motherhood is. It's a blessing. It teaches us just as many lessons as it does our kids. And it helps us learn to respect and treat our parents in a little bit different manner because we understand what they went through. Now, I'm not saying that I know not everyone has had that blessing. And that they can't have kids or they've lost their kids. And I'm not leaving you out of this. That doesn't mean that you aren't or can't be a mother. Sometimes there are people around you that you can be more of a mother to than their own mother actually was. Just because you don't have a child or if you've lost them doesn't mean that you can't take up that role for someone else. And you're just as important. I think about Ruth and Naomi. Naomi lost both of her sons. She lost her husband. All she has left is her two daughter-in-laws. One of them chooses to leave her, but not Ruth. In Ruth 1, 14 through 16. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." She even wanted to be buried where Naomi was going to be buried. That was not her biological daughter. But she found a mother. Ruth found a mother in Naomi. You can absolutely take someone under your wing and be that mother that they've never had. And then we look at Hannah. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have any kids, but she begged and she begged and she pleaded and she pleaded and she prayed. She prayed so hard. And finally, she was like, "You know what, Lord? If you grant me this child, I will dedicate him to you. I will give him to your work." And she came to have a son, and she named him Samuel. In 1 Samuel 1:26 through 28, she has the son that she has prayed for so long. And she has to give him up. Now, mind you, she still saw him, but how hard is that? How hard would that be for you as a mom to just be like, "I'm turning over my son to you so you can raise him"? I can't imagine what that would be like. But she still got to see him. In fact, she made a robe for him every year. And because of her faithfulness, God blessed her with more children. Or Jochebed and Moses, she raises her son, thinks he's going to get killed by the Israelites or Egyptians, puts him in a basket. A queen finds him, sends him back to his mother to raise him, and then she has to give him up again to go to the palace. And he turned out to be a great deliverer and worker for God because he, you know, helped free the Israelites. But how hard would that have been? What about Genesis 3:20? It says that Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Man, talk about having lots of kids. She was to replenish this whole earth. She has Cain and she has Abel, right? Abel's the good son, does what he's supposed to, does the right sacrifices. Then you have Cain, who's super jealous because Abel's doing the right thing and he doesn't want to do that. He wants to do his own thing. And he kills his brother. I wonder what was going through Eve's head. Was she as a mother going, "Somehow this is my fault? I should have raised him better. I have failed"? Because I'll tell you what, there are many moments about having children. They know you. They know what's in your heart. They know your buttons. They know what to say. They know how to push them. And I'll tell you what, they can hurt you like nobody's ever hurt you. And there are moments that I have spent on my knees in tears with my head on the floor, praying to God, feeling like I have failed as a mother. So what was Eve possibly thinking? My son killed my other son. Not only did she lose one son to death, but now Cain has to be banished, so she loses that son too. Mind you, she had more, but that's not the point. I tell Winter all the time, if I lose you, there's not another Winter. There's not another Asher. There is only one you. So what was Eve thinking? Did she think that she had possibly failed? How much sorrow must she have had? So let's take our final look at Mary in Luke 1, 46 through 48. Mary magnifies the Lord. I'm waiting for it to come up there. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. She's happy that she's had this baby. It's Jesus. Yeah, it was Immaculate Conception, but do you think that she loved him any less? For he regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And it's true. What must have that been like? So you go from Eve, who has one son that kills the other and gets banished, now you've got the perfect son. Boy, what would that have been like? Yes, Mom, I'll do the dishes. Yes, Mom, I'll go take care of the farm animals. Yes, Mom. Man. I wonder what that would have been like. And can you imagine what it would have been like to be his siblings? Why can't you be more like Jesus? I don't know what that would have been like. But she was blessed. Mind you, she was raising him for another purpose. Obedient, loving, respectful. In John 19, 25 through 27, she had to see her son in pain. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. She was there when he was tortured. She saw him beaten. She saw him bleeding. And she watched her son die. I don't know the anguish that she must have felt. I'm sure that she knew with him growing up that he had a bigger purpose. Because if it wasn't for that death, none of us would have salvation. Amen. It was only through that sacrifice that we would be able to go home with him. Jesus conquered death, and she's going to get to see him again in heaven. Because he did conquer death, those who have suffered that loss will once again be reunited with their children. I have here in selected messages from Ellen White. There is on page 259, it says, our fondest hopes are often blighted here. Our loved ones are torn from us by death. Remember, Jesus conquered that. We close their eyes, inhabit them from the tomb, and lay them away from our sight. But hope bears our spirits up. We are not parted forever, but shall meet the loved ones who sleep in Jesus. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. The life-giver is coming. Myriads of holy angels escort him on his way. He bursts the bands of death, breaks the fetters of the tomb. The precious captives come forth in health and immortal beauty. As the little infants come forth immortal from their dusty beds, they immediately wing their way to the mother's arms. They meet again, never more to part. But many of the little ones have no mother there. We listen in vain for the rapturous song of triumph from the mother. The angels receive the motherless infants and conduct them to the tree of life. Jesus places the golden ring of light, the crown upon their little heads. God grant that the dear mother of Eva may be there, that her little wings may be folded upon the glad bosom of her mother. If you've had loss down here, there's going to be a day of great gladness. You're going to hold your baby again. And for the babies of the moms that don't make it, you're going to be that mother. You lost them. She lost them. She wasn't able to make it. They don't have to be your biological to be your child. And you're going to have the opportunity to raise them. And you know what? Raising them in paradise. No more skinned knees. No more bruises or broken bones or the pain of bullying. It's going to be a perfect paradise. So for those of you out there who have suffered loss, please know that there is hope. There is hope for the future, and you'll get to raise your baby in perfection. And for that, we can be grateful. What a joyous moment that will be. And it's only provided by the love of God and his robe of righteousness that he paid for us on the cross. And for that, we can be truly joyful, and we will adore our Savior.
Please stand.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us the light of day. All thy works with joy surround the earth, and every fleck thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blossoming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depths of happy rest. Thou the Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us as we leave this place on your Sabbath day. Help us to take those under our wings who don't have anyone else. Help those of us that are women to outstretch and bring other women in instead of putting them down. Let's raise them up. Let's possibly be the mother that they never had and walk in the footsteps that you would have us go, that they could follow. Help us to ever be a light for you. Please be with us the rest of the week. Bring us back next Sabbath when it is time to worship with you again. In your name, amen. Thank you.